Welcome to Demystifying Franchise Ownership, the podcast that brings you expert advice, transparency, and clarity around franchise ownership. Whether you are a prospective or current franchisee or franchisor, or simply curious about the topic, say hello to your host, Christine Givens.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Demystifying Franchise Ownership, where I share my knowledge, experience, and hard-earned lessons learned about franchise ownership. Today, I'm talking about the ways in which you can finance a franchise purchase. When it comes to funding a franchise purchase, aspiring franchisees have a range of options to explore. One common avenue is conventional bank loan, where individuals secure funding based on their creditworthiness and the viability of the business or franchise concept. Another popular choice is Small Business Administration loans, or SBA loans, which offer favorable terms and guarantees to lenders, making it easier for franchisees to secure financing. Some franchisors provide in-house financing, though those are fewer and far between, or they have partnerships with preferred lenders, streamlining the process for franchisees. And then, of course, there are alternative funding sources like crowdfunding, angel investors, taking on partners, using retirement funds, and personal savings. If none of these options are right for you, there are always alternative financing options available to prospective franchisees. But keep in mind, these typically come at a very high price. So exploring these funding avenues allow potential franchisees to choose the option that aligns best with your financial situation, your financial goals, and the requirements of a specific franchise opportunity. Let me start with alternative funding sources like crowdfunding. What exactly is crowdfunding? Crowdfunding offers a streamlined and innovative approach to financing a franchise purchase. Through platforms like Kickstarter, crowdfunding operates on the principle of collective funding, whereby individuals contribute small amounts of money to support a particular project or venture. These individuals become investors and own equity in the company. These individuals are not loaning funds, they're making an equity contribution. Crowdfunding is not commonly seen as a way to raise funds for franchisees. I see a couple of downsides with this way of funding a franchise purchase. One, crowdfunding is more commonly used to raise smaller amounts less than $50,000, and many crowdfunding campaigns are unsuccessful. So what do you do if you have a campaign and it's unsuccessful? In fact, when I was preparing for this episode, I saw statistics saying only 24% of crowdfunding campaigns are successful. Additionally, given the initial investment required by many franchise opportunities exceeds $50,000, you would be significantly limited as to the franchise systems in which you could invest. Plus, depending on the agreement with your crowdfunding backers, you'll most likely have to repay your investors if you're unable to do so in the event of a business failure. You may encounter legal issues. Again, it depends on the agreement you have with your investors. The benefits of crowdfunding include access to a diverse pool of potential investors, increased exposure and visibility for your business venture, the ability to validate market demand and gather valuable feedback from the crowd. If they like what you're selling, that's validating that you're investing in something that the market wants, and the advantage of not having to pay interest on the funds raised, unlike other loans or financing options. Another alternative way to fund a franchise purchase is with what we call angel investors. Angel investors are individuals who provide financial support to startups or entrepreneurs in exchange for equity or a share in a company's ownership. Angel investors can either be experienced professional investors who specialize in funding startups, or family members and friends who believe in and support the endeavors of their loved ones. These investors play a crucial role in funding new business ventures, including franchise purchases, by injecting capital into the business venture. Their financial backing can help aspiring franchisees cover the initial costs of acquiring a franchise, such as the franchise fee, equipment, and inventory, helping them to start their franchise journey with a stronger foundation. Angel investors offer several advantages to startups. First of all, they provide crucial early stage funding when traditional funding sources may be inaccessible, helping entrepreneurs turn their ideas into reality. Additionally, angel investors often bring valuable experience, knowledge, and industry connections, offering guidance and mentorship to the entrepreneurs. Their involvement can also attract the attention of other investors and financing and increase the credibility of the startup, making it easier to secure further funding in the future. Angel investors make investment decisions more quickly, are typically more flexible and patient than traditional venture capitalists, and the business owner, again, doesn't have to pay interest, allowing entrepreneurs more time to develop and grow their businesses without the pressure of immediate returns. While angel investors offer numerous benefits, there are also certain drawbacks to consider. One disadvantage is that angel investors typically expect a significant return on their investment, often in the form of equity or ownership shares. So you're going to give up a lot of your ownership. This can result in the loss of control for the entrepreneurs and dilution of their ownership stake in the company. Furthermore, the involvement of angel investors may lead to conflicts of interest and differences in vision and decision-making, as their interests may not align perfectly with those of the entrepreneur. Plus, when an angel investor is a family member or friend, you may experience strain on the personal relationship if the business doesn't go as planned, leading to conflicts of interest or disagreements that could impact both the business and personal dynamics with the family member or friend. Another way to fund a franchise purchase is self-funding with personal savings. Self-funding allows you to maintain complete control over the business without sharing decision-making authority. The downside is you eat up your personal savings. This method requires careful financial planning, assessing your own personal risk tolerance, and ensuring you have sufficient funds to cover not only the franchise purchase, initial operational expenses, and your living expenses if you don't have another source of income. You can also bring on a partner to help fund the franchise purchase. A potential partner with complementary skills and resources can certainly enhance your chance of success. The drawbacks of this option include giving up ownership in the business, and two, finding a reliable and trustworthy individual or group of individuals who share your vision may not be that easy. Another way to fund a franchise purchase is using a rollover for business startups, which is abbreviated as ROBS, R-O-B-S. This method is not a withdrawal or distribution from a retirement plan account or a loan against it. Instead, it's a rollover that enables the use of retirement funds to purchase stock in a new company with the proceeds from the sale of the stock then used to fund the new or purchased business without incurring tax penalties or early withdrawal fees. The distribution from the retirement plan is not taxable and it's not a loan. So you don't have to repay, or you don't have to repay the loan. You don't have to pay any interest. Here is an overview of how a Rob's arrangement works. First, you form a C corporation. It's the only business structure that works in this arrangement. So if you have an existing entity, you must first convert the entity to a C corporation. The second step is having the new or newly converted C corporation establish a retirement plan. There's considerable flexibility with the type of retirement plan. You can establish a 401k plan, profit sharing plan, defined benefit plan, or other type of defined contribution plan. The type of the retirement plan depends on factors like how many employees you have. The third step is for the existing retirement funds from a prior employer's 401k plan or a personal IRA to be transferred to the new retirement plan sponsored by the new or newly converted C corporation. The new 401k plan or the new retirement plan, whatever that is, can then invest in the new business and become a shareholder in the C corporation. In the next step, the transferred funds, which are now in the new retirement plan, are used to buy the stock in the new C corporation at fair market value. Specifically, the C corporation issues shares that the new retirement plan and any potential outside investors will purchase. And then the last step is once a retirement plan has purchased the stock in the new C corporation, those funds can then be used by the C corporation to invest in the business. Keep in mind, this is a complicated transaction. You'll definitely have to engage legal counsel and possibly financial advisors to get this transaction done. Additionally, you'll incur fees up front, I'd say at least $5,000, and there will be ongoing expenses related to the administration of the new retirement plan and the new C corporation. In my mind, the most significant downside of the Rob's strategy is the potential risk of losing retirement funds. By utilizing the funds for business purposes, there's always a possibility of the business failing or underperforming, leading to a substantial loss of invested capital. This loss could have a long-term impact on your retirement savings, potentially jeopardizing your financial security. Before entering into this type of arrangement, you should have your financial advisor do a retirement sufficiency analysis for you. You should have other sufficient retirement funds in case the franchise fails and you lose all of your investment. Another option to fund a franchise purchase is by obtaining a home equity loan. By using the equity in your home, you can secure a home equity loan. Many people have significant equity in their homes these days, so a home equity loan may be a good option, even given the higher interest rate environment. But keep in mind that while this can be an attractive option because it's easy and quick to obtain, it's important to consider the downsides. First, by using your home as collateral, you are putting it at risk. If your franchise investment doesn't exceed as anticipated, you may face the possibility of losing your home. Additionally, if the franchise business fails to generate sufficient profits, you could find yourself in a situation where you're simultaneously servicing the loan, the home equity loan, and struggling to cover franchise-related expenses. Another financing option similar to a home equity loan is a securities-based loan. I actually self-funded part of my franchise purchase and also used a securities-based loan for part of my initial investment. In the case of a securities-based loan, you leverage your investment portfolio, such as stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, as collateral for the loan. By doing so, you can access capital without having to liquidate your investments, your stocks and your bonds, potentially avoiding capital gains taxes or disrupting your long-term investment strategy. Plus, securities-based loans often offer competitive interest rates and flexible repayment terms. But while a securities-based loan sounds appealing, as with anything, you must consider the pros and cons. You need to consider what happens if the value of your investment portfolio, which serves as collateral, declines. You may be required to provide additional collateral or face having to liquidate some of your stocks and bonds. If your account has gone down in value, most likely you'll be liquidating your stocks and bonds at lower prices. This can result in potential losses and, again, disrupt your long-term investment strategy. Secondly, securities-based loans often come with variable interest rates that increase or decrease over time, which could lead to higher borrowing costs. Additionally, these loans may have specific requirements and restrictions imposed by the lender, such as maintaining a certain loan-to-value ratio or limiting the types of securities accepted as collateral. It's crucial to thoroughly understand and evaluate all these pros and cons before opting for a securities-based loan as a financing method. So I've covered ways in which you can fund a franchise purchase by self-funding, obtaining investors, like with crowdfunding, and securing financing using certain personal assets as collateral, like a home equity loan or securities-based loans. Now I want to talk about more traditional financing options. Conventional business loans are commonly offered by banks, credit unions, and other financial institutions without the backing of an SBA guarantee. Since these loans lack the guarantee offered with SBA loans, they are considered riskier for the lenders, resulting in stricter qualification criteria and potentially higher interest rates. Startup franchises, especially those without an established track record or collateral, may face challenges in obtaining conventional loans due to the perceived higher risk. In my experience, commercial banks aren't making loans for less than $1 million and more likely even $5 million. Accessing capital can be a big challenge for small businesses due to several reasons. While it's not that banks are inherently opposed to lending to smaller enterprises, in fact, they are willing to do so, traditional financial institutions often employ an outdated and labor-intensive lending process. Additionally, the existing regulations tend to be unfavorable towards local shops and small organizations, further impeding their access to capital. One of the primary obstacles faced by small businesses is the requirement for a well-established track record. Banks typically prefer to see a minimum of 5 years of financial history, including tax data, to assess the viability and stability of a business before extending a loan. This puts newer businesses at a disadvantage, making it even more challenging for them to secure the necessary funds. Consequently, SBA financing and alternative financing options may be more accessible and better suited for prospective franchisees. Alternative financing is any method through which business owners can acquire capital without the assistance of a traditional bank. Alternative financing comes from non-bank lenders, such as peer-to-peer lending programs, micro lenders, or online-only lenders. Alternative non-bank lenders generally provide flexible eligibility requirements, easy application processes, fast funding, and no usage restrictions. So in other words, they don't have requirements and or restrictions on how you can use the loan funds. However, using non-bank lenders for a franchise purchase entails certain caveats such as higher borrowing costs, hidden fees, shorter repayment terms, and a risk the lender goes out of business. Given the higher interest rate environment, the interest rates demanded by these alternative lenders will be even higher. Like a credit card, you can get fast and easy cash or access to cash, but the borrowing cost is astronomical. A franchise profit model may not allow for this level of borrowing costs and could potentially make it challenging to generate sufficient returns to cover the loan expenses and the repayment of the loan. I saved the best for last, SBA financing. SBA financing is a specialized loan program administered by the Small Business Administration, the SBA, that aims to support small businesses, including those looking to purchase a franchise. It enables prospective franchise owners to access funds with more flexible terms, lower down payments, and longer repayment periods compared to conventional traditional bank loans. Because SBA financing is an extensive and important topic, I'm actually going to cover this in a separate episode because it will be very long. So let me recap the various funding options I covered in today's episode. Number one, crowdfunding. Number two, angel investors, including family and friends. Self-funding with your own personal assets. Taking on a partner or a group of partners. A rollover for business startups or ROBs, home equity loan, a securities-based loan, conventional bank loan, alternative lenders, and lastly, SBA financing, which I'll cover thoroughly in a separate episode. Shoo! That was a lot of information, but so important if you're considering franchise ownership. I want to also mention a new tool I have available on my website, ChristineGivens.com. The resource is called The Ultimate Step-by-Step Guide to Vetting and Evaluating a Franchise Opportunity. This guide includes a 10-step framework which will help you assess a franchise system or opportunity. That's a wrap on this week's episode. If you are considering franchise ownership, this episode should give you the overview you need to understand the various ways in which you can fund a franchise purchase. If you do go forward with a franchise purchase, make sure to engage an attorney and financial advisor because each situation is different. Most franchise investments require a significant financial outlay. So you want to cross all your T's and dot all your I's. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Demystifying Franchise Ownership. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on my website, ChristineGivens.com. Be sure to tune into next week's episode. Until then, be well.